All right, so Exodus chapter 2, I'm going to read the first 10 verses, and then we'll take a look at it. And a man of the house of Levi went and took a wife, a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river. And her maidens walked along the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of the water." Well, praise God for his word. I want to thank you all for sharing this morning and for your testimonies on this Mother's Day. I wish I could stand up here and say this morning that I planned this message on Mother's Day, but I didn't. It just happened to come in the flow of things. But this message this morning is the testimony of a godly woman, Moses' mother. So if your life has been blessed by the touch of a godly woman, then you have enjoyed one of the world's greatest treasures and blessings. Amen. And we've heard some of those testimonies this morning about being blessed by the touch of a godly mother. Not everyone has enjoyed this great blessing, but for those of you who have, you will go to your grave remembering her lessons, her love, and maybe most importantly, the example she lived by faith. And so we set aside one day a year to honor our mothers, and today is that day. And certainly you deserve that honor. Abraham Lincoln once said, "No man is poor who has had a godly mother." And so this text this morning, we see another example of a godly mother, the mother of Moses. We're going to do a little digging into this, but we're going to discover that she stands out as one of the greatest mothers that is revealed to us in the pages of Scripture. Her active and sensible and courageous faith made possible the exodus of God's people from Egypt and literally changed the course of human history. However, do not think that the lessons we learned this morning apply only to moms, for as we'll see, Moses also had a godly father. And so one step better than having a godly mother is having godly parents.
Amen.
So whether you're a mom or a dad, or you plan to be a mom or a dad, God has a word for you this morning through this text. So I want to begin by just reminding us where we are when we come to Exodus chapter 2. I want us to put it into context so we understand what's happening here. And we can do that by going back into chapter 1, just for a few minutes. When Moses was born, as we've learned, the children of Israel are now living in Egypt. And during that time, as it says in verse 7, they have multiplied and they have grown exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. Israel has become a mighty and powerful nation while they've been living in Egypt. And so this new king arises, as it says there in verse 8, and he's fearful of the nation of Israel. He's fearful that they're going to join with Egypt's enemies and fight against her. And so this new king of Egypt devises a plan. And we see in the verses that follow, his plan is to make the children of Israel his slaves. And he begins putting them into slavery, and their lives become bitter with hard and cruel labor. They're slaves building two supply cities for Egypt, Pithom and Ramses. And then, secondly, or the second part of the plan, there in verses 15 through 21, the king of Egypt has ordered that all of the Hebrew midwives, if there's a son born to a pregnant Hebrew mother, then they are to kill the son. Mm-hmm. And when that failed to happen, we see the final phase of his plan is given to us in verse 22, when it says, Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born, in other words, born of a Hebrew mother, you shall cast into the river, into the Nile River, and every daughter you shall save alive. And so Pharaoh's plan was to reduce this multiplication and the size of Israel by starting to eliminate the sons that were born. And so into this nightmare, into this scenario, into this pagan culture, comes the birth of Moses. And we can see it's during a time of great hardship and fear for the Hebrew families. Moses is born under the threat of being cast into the Nile River if he's discovered, as part of Pharaoh's plan to slow Israel's growth. And so moms, this morning, I know that holding a child that you've carried for 9 months for the first time up against your chest and bonding with that child is an experience that is indescribable and unforgettable. I can only imagine the blessing and joy you must feel bringing a new life into the world and dreaming about all of the possibilities that lay ahead for your child. And so I think you can relate to this mother bonding with this, as she calls him there in verse 2, a beautiful child. I think you can relate to that because you've done it yourselves. And so, given the circumstances, put your place in Moses' life as Moses' mother, and you've just given birth to this child, and you see that he is a beautiful child, what are you going to do? Well, you're going to do what Moses' mother did. He hid him for 3 months. Later on in the book of Exodus in chapter 6, we're told that Moses' mother's name is Jochebed, and her husband's name is Amram. We're also told that this little guy has an older sister and an older brother. The older sister's name is Miriam, and the older brother's name is Aaron. And at the point that Moses is born, Aaron is 3 years old, and therefore he has escaped this recent command from the new king. And so Moses is born into this family, has a parents, Jochebed and Aram. He has brothers, he has a brother, and he has a sister. And then we can even learn more about Moses' parents when we get to the New Testament. Very important verse for us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. It says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw that he was a beautiful child. And so I think you can see that this verse becomes an important supplement for us as we look back at Exodus chapter 2. And from this verse, we can very clearly see that Moses was born into a family whose parents were parents of faith, people of faith. Amen. When it says there, by faith Moses, it's not talking about Moses' faith, it's talking about the faith of his parents, because by faith when he was born, they hid him for 3 months. And so it's talking about Jochebed and Amram. By faith, when they saw that he was a beautiful child, they hid him for 3 months. And so this idea of having faithful parents becomes the bedrock then for everything that they do after Moses is born. And the first thing we see from this verse is it says that they saw that Jochebed saw that her son was a beautiful child. And what I want us to see about this is that Jochebed, by faith, saw something in her son that others didn't see. And that's what faith does for faithful parents.
Amen.
It allows us to see possibilities that others might not see. The NIV says that they saw a fine child. The New Living Translation says that they saw a special baby. And then if you go to Acts chapter 7, Luke writes there when he's recording the life of Stephen, Stephen said that Moses was a beautiful child in the sight of God. And so what the scripture is trying to tell us, I think, about Moses is that when it says that he was a beautiful child, it means that he had a specialty to him. Mm-hmm. He was beautiful in the sight of God. And by faith, Jochebed and Amram saw that. They saw the possibilities in their son. And they saw it by faith. They saw possibly that he was destined for greatness. And so what did they do? They hid him for 3 months. And so this is the second thing that we can learn then. When faith sees possibilities, then what does that do for us? That creates in us the thought of taking some action. We take action because we see the possibilities. And so faith starts by possibilities, and then faith is generated in that we become active. Faith is always active. And I always become sad when I see Christians who a difficult decision comes upon them and they fail to see the possibilities and what God's doing in their life, and so they become paralyzed. They become stuck. That they're afraid to do anything because they don't want to do the wrong thing. Well, you see, if by faith you see possibilities, then that possibility means you're going to take action.
Amen.
And that's what Moses' parents did. They hid him for 3 months. True faith leads to action, not to paralysis. Now, the cynic might say, you know, if they really truly trusted God and they saw the possibilities in Moses, why did they have to hide him? Why didn't they just live with him in the open? Why did they have to hide him? And you know, the scripture doesn't really tell us. Would God protect Moses even if he wasn't hidden? Well, my answer to that is yes. God would have protected Moses because he had a special plan for Moses, and he would have protected Moses even if he hadn't been hidden. But my thought about this is that God does not cherish or does not applaud foolish faith.
Amen.
He wants us to have sensible faith.
Amen.
And it says in that scripture, by faith they hid him. By faith they hid him. And so what that tells me is that it was a sensible faith. They just sensed through prayer or sensed in their life that God told them to hide Moses for 3 months. And so that's what they did. And so faith sees possibilities, and that leads to action. And then God wants us to have sensible faith in our actions. And so they hid him for 3 months. And then finally, in the second part of that, it says that they were not afraid of the king's command. And so active faith then becomes courageous faith. Active faith becomes courageous. Jochebed and Amram had the courage to stand opposed to the king's command. And we're not told in the scripture, but I assume that if the authorities had discovered that they were hiding their son, Moses, he wouldn't have been the only one cast into the Nile River. And so it took courage on their part to hide their son for 3 months. These were fearful times that they were living in. And yet they refused to cower in fear. The Greek word there for not, I underlined it there on the screen for you. In the Greek, it's talking about the highest form of not. So what it's saying is, and they were absolutely not afraid of the king's command. And so moms, on Mother's Day, we can learn a lot from Jochebed. You too now live in the midst of a predominantly pagan culture. And remember, early on we talked about Egypt being a type of the world. And so we are living in our own Egypt, a culture which is rapidly becoming more and more anti-Christian. And as a result, it can be a fearful thing to bring a child into this world. Cynthia and I have 5 young grandchildren. And sometimes I'll be sitting there, I'll be thinking about them, and then I'll be overcome with this sense of fear because I'm a little apprehensive of what they're going to grow up, what kind of culture and what kind of world they're going to grow up into. And it can become fearful. And so at those moments, I have to catch myself. And I have to inject myself with the antidote of fear, and the antidote for fear is faith. And so you must do that as well, moms. Do not be afraid of the pharaohs in your life. And by faith, entrust your children into God's safe hands. Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe."
Amen.
And so trust in the Lord that He's watching over you and your family. And He's watching over you at all times. And so, Father, I just pray that You give us godly moms and godly dads who by faith are absolutely not afraid to stand against a godless system and pagan culture of today, which threatens to destroy the lives of our children. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And so from this verse, Hebrews 11:23, we learn that Moses' parents were men and women of faith. They saw the possibilities in Moses by faith. By faith, because they saw the possibilities, they put their life into action. By faith, they were sensible. And by faith, they were courageous. And so knowing now that Moses' parents were people of faith, as we turn back to our text here in Exodus chapter 2, we can learn a few more things as we look at this passage about faith and what it means to be a parent of faith. In verse 3, it says, "But when she, Jochebed, could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank." Now, when you read that verse, does anything pop into your mind? Does anything just come to you? Anything at all? Well, when I read this verse, I have to go to Noah's Ark.
Amen.
I have to think of Noah's Ark. And I think Jochebed decided to build this little ark and cover it with pitch, it says, on the outside to make it waterproof so that she could put her son in it, and then she put it in the waters, the Nile River, which to her meant waters of death. That's what the king's command was. And so I think she's thinking about Noah when she's thinking about this. And she's thinking, you know, I'm going to trust God for my son and put him in this ark, just as Noah trusted God when he and his family climbed into the ark. And it says in Genesis chapter 6 that Noah put pitch and asphalt all around and on the inside of the ark. And so my point is that if indeed Jochebed was thinking about Noah when she built this ark for Moses, then faith is strengthened and becomes an anchor for us through the scriptures.
Amen.
The more that we know about the scriptures, the stronger faith we're going to have, because we're going to know about God's ways.
Preach it.
And so Jochebed knew about God's ways. And she said, because I'm a woman of faith, I'm going to put my faith in this ark, just like Noah put his faith in the ark that he built. And it's the same for us. The more we know about God's ways, it's going to strengthen our faith in those times when we have to be active. Because we can look back in Scripture and say, hey, it worked here. It'll work for me. And how do we gain a knowledge of the ways of God? By reading our scriptures, right? By listening to our moms when they tell us the stories of the Bible. And I think that's how Jochebed learned about Noah, is when she was a young girl growing up, she listened to her mom telling her the stories of Noah and the stories of the Old Testament. The stories that had come before her. Or maybe even her religious teachers during that time as she was growing up taught her about Noah. And so it was part of her. It's part of her mind and part of her heart. And that's what's happened when we study our Bibles. We have a foundation then. We have an anchor for faith. And when we have to take action, that becomes the anchor for us. That's why Paul encourages moms and dads to bring up our children in the training and the admonition of the Lord.
Amen.
So that they'll have this foundation. And so active and sensible and courageous faith and a good knowledge of God's word goes hand in hand. They strengthen each other.
Amen.
And then secondly, I think this verse teaches us that there's going to be a time, mom, when by faith, you're not going to be able to hide your child anymore from the world. There's going to be a time by faith when you're going to have to release your child into God's hands.
Amen.
And it may be a fearful thing for you to do. But here, Jochebed, she had done everything she could think of to do for Moses. She had hid him for 3 months, and then when she could no longer hide him anymore, she creates this ark for him, and she daubs it with asphalt and pitch, and she puts Moses in it, and then she lays it in the reeds by the river's bank, and then she has to walk away. And she has to, by faith, put Moses in God's hands. And there's a time coming for every mom when you have to do that with your child. Whether it's the time they have to go off to college, or they want to become a missionary and they want to go to a foreign land, or they just want to go off and do their own thing. It's coming. And you have to do all of you can for them. You have to prepare them. You have to get them ready for that time. But then you've got to metaphorically put them in that ark and set them in the river and walk away. And trust that God's going to take care of
them. Amen.
And then also, Cynthia testified about some hardships in her own life and with our own children. And sometimes, you know, you're saddled with a wayward child for a while. And you've done all you can for them. And you've tried to help them and help them and help them. And they just become more wayward. Well, there comes a time when you've got to put them in the ark. And you've got to just put them in God's hand and trust that He's got them. Metaphorically, you build an ark for them and you place them in it. And you trust that God is going to take it from there. And then thirdly, we see in this text that God loves to reward faith. The Bible says in Hebrews again, chapter 11, without faith it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
Amen.
The most amazing thing for me about this passage that I read to you this morning is not so much that God protects Moses or saves Moses' life, but the fact of how he blesses Jochebed because of her faith. And so she puts the ark in the reeds by the riverbank, and she walks away. And then what happens? Well, lo and behold, here comes Pharaoh's daughter with her maidens. And they come down the river to take a bath. And as they're preparing to do that, or maybe while they're already bathing, one of the maidens happens to be walking along the riverbank and she spots the ark in the reeds. And Miriam, Moses' sister, she's watching all of this from afar. And so Pharaoh's daughter tells the maiden to bring the ark up, and they open up the ark, and there's Moses, and Moses starts to cry, and the daughter of Pharaoh is overcome with all of this compassion and emotion, which is a cue for Miriam. So Miriam comes over and asks her if she, you know, wants Miriam to find a Hebrew mother who can nurse the child for her. Pharaoh's daughter says, yeah, go find somebody. Who does she go find? Moses' mother. And so she brings Moses' mother to Pharaoh, Pharaoh's daughter. And Pharaoh's daughter says to her in verse 9, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. What an amazing reward for Jochebed's faith. Not only is she given her child back, but she's given her child back so that she can nurse him and wean him and then instruct him and build him up during his formidable years. And not only that, she's going to get paid for it all. God loves to reward true faith. Over and over again in the New Testament, we read about where Jesus rewards faith. The paralytic was healed and his sins were forgiven because Jesus saw the faith of his friends, it says. Jesus healed a woman who had the flow of blood for 12 years because she had the faith just to come and to touch his robe. Jesus said, it is your faith who has made you well. And then Jesus gave sight to a blind man begging along the road near Jericho because of his faith. And so it goes on and on and on. And then finally, one last thing. And I think this is an important one for us. God works as faith is lived out in the normal course of our daily life. God works as we live our normal daily lives by faith. We can clearly see God's hand directing the life of Moses here. And yet he's working through the life of Jochebed and Aram and even Marian as they live their normal lives out by faith. If you look at this passage, there's no mention of any obvious miracle here in this passage. There's no mention of a trumpet blast from God. There's no mention of a heavenly choir coming and suddenly singing the praises of Moses. There's no star, you know, over the ark showing the maidens where the ark is. There's no visions. There's no dreams that Jochebed get or Aram gets about their son. It's just a normal narrative of what happens and how God works as they live out their life, their normal life, by faith. And so we see a man, it says, he takes a wife. Normal thing to do. They start a family. And over time, they have this new son added to the family. And then over time, we see the normal course of things that this princess comes down to the river to bathe with her maidens. And one of the maidens just happens to find the ark. And as they open up the ark, the baby, as they normally do, cries. And the woman's overcome with compassion. And then we have this sister who takes the opportunity to try to help out her little brother. And through it all, a question is asked and permission is given. Just all kind of normal things going on. All these things unfold before them as they might unfold before us as we live out our lives today, day to day. The point is, God uses normal people who, by faith, leading a normal life with its ups and downs, He uses us to govern His creation and to carry out His will.
Amen.
It's a very important lesson for us. And so we should never think that as we live through the normal course of our lives and we go through the normal things that we do on a daily basis, that God doesn't have His eye on us. Because He does.
Certainly does.
And we shouldn't think that He's not working through us, because He is. As long as we're making those normal daily decisions and choices based on faith, He's going to use them. The theological term to describe how this is happening in this text is called God's providence. And so how are we to understand God's providence? Simply put, God's providence says there is nothing that happens by chance. Providence says that God is meticulously working in your life as you go through your daily day. He's working in your life meticulously. Even if you don't have a conscious presence that He's there with you, even if you don't understand what He's doing or why He's doing it, He's meticulously working in your life as you make those decisions based on faith to carry out His will.
Amen.
The theologian John Gill, he wrote this. He said, God looks down upon the earth, takes notice and care of all His creatures in it, and makes provision for them, and guides and directs them to answer the ends for which they were made. Unquote. The important part of that, the important phrase in that quote, is that God guides and directs us. He guides and directs us that in the end we will fulfill those things that He has designed us for. Even though we don't see His presence, don't understand what He's doing or why He's doing it. The best example in our Bibles that I know of regarding God's providence is the life of Joseph, found in the Genesis account. Last fall, a few hardy souls of us explored the life of Joseph and God directing and guiding his life through the ups and downs of Joseph's life, so that God's will might be carried out. Let me just remind you of some of the highlights of Joseph's life. Joseph was born the 11th son of Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons total, and Joseph was the 11th son. Joseph was born into a rather dysfunctional family. His father constantly treated Joseph as the favorite son. As a result of that, the other 11 brothers got very jealous and envious of Joseph and his standing with his father. It got to a point where they started hating Joseph. It got to a point where they were planning on killing Joseph. Until Reuben, the oldest son, said, no, we really shouldn't kill him. And in the end, they decided to sell him to a band of nomads who were going to Egypt. And they sold their brother to these nomads, and Joseph finds himself suddenly down in Egypt. And over the course of time, Joseph experienced some great successes and some great failures in Egypt. He experiences some great blessings and some great hardships. He experiences poverty. He experiences imprisonment. And yet he experiences some incredibly high points as well. And all these years he's down there in Egypt. As you know the story, he's thrown into prison unjustly because he's accused of sexually assaulting his boss's wife. And he spent years in prison for something that he didn't do. And yet it says that he found favor with the keeper of the prison because he gained a reputation as being a man who could accurately interpret dreams. And so after being in prison for several years, he's released from prison because he accurately interprets the dream of Pharaoh, of all people. And so Pharaoh, as Justin read to us, made him lord over all of Egypt. He went from prison to being lord over all of Egypt, working to fulfill the dream that he had interpreted for Pharaoh, that there was going to be 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine. And so Joseph was put in charge of making sure that there was an abundance amount of grain and feed and food to last them through the following 7 years of famine. And so Joseph did all of this. And the scripture in Genesis, the genitive narrative, is very scarce on Joseph ever knowing why he was doing this. Why God had put him in Egypt, and why he had been in prison, and why he had been going through all of these ups and downs. The narrative is very scarce that Joseph knew anything about what was going on or what God was doing. And yet God was working through it all. And finally, at the end, Joseph understands. He understands what God was doing with his life. It was during the 7 years of famine that Joseph was reunited with his brothers and eventually his father. When they came down to Egypt from Canaan to buy food from him. And so Joseph then understands everything that had happened to him for years now. That God was with him and that God was directing things and that God was carrying out his will through Joseph. Justin read to us this morning, and let me just remind you of what Joseph said to his brothers. He said, "Please come near to me." So they came near. Then he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now," he says, "do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth, to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it is not you who sent me here, but God." Joseph tells his brothers, "You sold me to Egypt, but God sent me here." That's God's providence. And I believe that Joseph at the end, when he sees everything coming together and he sees God's will in all of this, that he was able to see it because through it all, he was a man of faith. He was a man who believed in his God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And what was God's will through it all? He says in verse 7, "to preserve a remnant for you in the earth, to save your lives by a great deliverance." Joseph had to go through all of this in his life, all of these ups and downs, all of these tragedies, all of these victories, so that Israel would be preserved, that there would be a remnant to go on. And as we've seen in Exodus chapter 1 already, there was a remnant. There was just 70 that came down to Egypt, and now they're a mighty nation. A fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham that you will become a mighty nation, that all nations through you shall be blessed. Joseph is finally understanding it. God was doing this work in my life. All through it all, he realized that if Israel was not preserved, there would not be a Jesus Christ. And so towards the end, Joseph understands it. God's providence working in his life. And my friends, it is the same for us. We may not understand what God's doing in our lives right now. We may not understand why. We may not even have that presence of God in our lives on a consistent basis. But we must know and we must believe that through his providence, he's going to work out the will that he has for us.
Amen.
But we have to live our lives by faith on a daily basis. We must see the possibilities, and then we must take action. And even if it means that we need to be courageous, we need to be courageous. Because God, through it all, is governing his creation through us, and he's carrying out his will through us. We may not have any choirs of angels sing to us. We may not see a star in the sky guiding us. But he's at work in us. Do you believe that?
Amen.
By faith, we believe that. Again, supported by the scriptures. God is guiding, directing everything that happens in your life. And so, moms, in closing up, I just want to encourage you this morning. By faith, see the possibilities. And then by faith, because you see the possibilities, you're willing to take action. Sensible action. Courageous action. And in doing so, you're not only going to have a profound impact on your children's lives for Jesus, but God's going to carry out his will in your life. And then in the end, he's going to reward you for your faith.
Amen.
Only God knows, but maybe, just maybe, like Jochebed, you are raising the next mighty man or woman of God. And God's working that out through you on a daily basis. So your life has been blessed by the touch of a godly woman. Then you've enjoyed one of the world's greatest treasures and blessings. And if that's the case for you today, then be sure to thank your godly mother. Because as she lived out her life by faith, and as she's living it even now, living out her life by faith, God's will is being carried out in your life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.